Perek Chavtes, chapter 29. And we began last time as the Plishtim are at odds with Achish. Well, we didn't actually get into that. We started out with the Plishtim being set to go to war against the Jews, and the key thing that we noticed was the location, because they seem to be in Afek, which is not the same as where we left them in chapter 27, when they were already up north, prepared to attack the Jews who are at Gilboa. So we took note of it. We haven't done anything, right? Did we talk about that last time, or am I thinking about something that I didn't actually say? You know, we didn't actually get there. Never mind. Forget I said that. But we're going to come back to it. Right now, all we said is that the Plishtim are in our face. Sorry, that's what happens when you prepare the next shiur and forget exactly where you left off. But what we saw was that, as we saw in chapter 27, David is close with Achish, and the Plishtim said, what are these Hebrews doing with us? That we did talk about last time, whether they're using the term Hebrews in a derogatory way or whether there's a pun. And Achish said, they've been with us for a long time, days, years, and we gave different explanations for what that phrase meant. And I've never found anything wrong with them. So what we're going to start with, we started talking about last time, but now we're going to finish it, is the big question of what David plans to do during this battle. What does David expect to have happen as the Plishtim fight the Jews? And I'm going to talk about this location where the Plishtim are at the start of this section in the problem of chapter 27, which I already jumped the gun on. So if you take a look at source number one, and we actually saw this briefly last time, Ralbag believes that David's plan is to sabotage the Plishtim. That's what David expects to do. So if you take a look at source number one, David huchrach lemalos mitzvas achish mitzad heyoso tachtav. David had to do what Achish wanted him to do. We talked about that last time, the idea that David is acting in a position of weakness. He doesn't have a choice. And David had already told Achish all about how he's attacking the Jews, when of course he wasn't. He was attacking other tribes, Amalek and others. And he told Achish he was doing that in order to demonstrate that he's not loyal to the Jews at this point. So now, put up or shut up time. I'm going to war against the Jews. Come along. V'hine, heter machsheves David belechto lios lesatan leplishtim ulesakel atzasam al Yisrael. So Ralbag says, David's plan is to make the war go badly for the Plishtim. He wants to frustrate the attempts of the Plishtim to harm the Jews. Kizemi mashiekalo asiyasav achashem botchim bo. Since he has their trust, it'll be easy. I see your hand, but I'm not ready yet. So that's Ralbag. That's the first approach. Abarbanel disagrees, and he says, absolutely not. David would never sabotage his benefactor Achish. On the other hand, he's not going to attack the Jews either. David's goal is to stay out of trouble. That's what David is trying to do. If you take a look at source number two, you see it in Abarbanel. He says, "Ve'ein kein da'ati." He brings the view that says that David wants to sabotage the Plishtim, and he says, I can't agree with that. That's just not true. Ki chalila le'ish nechbad ke David yigmol es achish im heyosim imachet plishtim ra'a tachas tova. He says, God forbid that somebody of honor, a man of honor like David, is going to give Achish back problems in response to the good that Achish did for him. Achish helped him. Granted, Achish is a Plishti king, is a Philistine king. Nonetheless, it will be immoral. V'hinei hayaze elav kashev v'davar megune me'od. To David, that would be a repulsive thing to do. Aval haysa kavanaso etzli shelo yocham shama. Rather, David intended not to fight. As Achish said to David, I'm going to make you my bodyguard. So he'll be a bodyguard. He'll protect the king. but he's not going to fight actively against the Jews. That is the way Abarbanel sees it, and I think I mentioned last time that this would be a loaded issue for Abarbanel insofar as he was personally high up in the Spanish court and vulnerable to charges of dual loyalty. So it could be that that's a piece of what's going through his head here. But he continues and he says, Va'achshovani, I think, Shal zeha inyan asa David alav ha-shalom mizmor. He says, David composed Psalm 139 with this in mind. Take a look. Hashem chakartani vateda. The psalm begins with David saying, God, you have investigated me and you know. What does that mean? Shadiber bo b'yidiyaha elokis v'shehu yisvarli bo sivochen klayos. He speaks of God's knowledge of the person. God knows what's in a person's heart. God knows what's in a person's innards. Lama sheyadaba ze kavanaso urtsona v'hiyoso muchrach b'masav. God knows what I intend. And God knows that I don't have a choice but to go along with the plishtim. V'lachen hayachasimas dvar av shama, which is why if you jump to the end of Psalm 139, he says, Im tiktol eloka rasha v'anshei damim suru meni. If you, God, are going to, to kill the wicked, and men of blood will leave me, asher yomrucha lamezima, asher yomrucha lamezima niso lashav orecha. These people yomrucha in the Abarbanel, the original Abarbanel has an aleph in it, which we don't have in our editions of this pasuk in Tanakh. So the ones who, yomrucha lamezima, the ones who praise you for their plots, naso lashav arecha, these are your enemies, arecha, who elevate you for nothing. Halo misan echa Hashem esna. He says, God, those who hate you, I hate. Uviskamamecha eskotat. And I fight those who rise up against you. Tachlis sinasinesim. I hate them with the height of hatred. La'ivim ayuli, they are my enemies. Bad people, people who are acting against you, God, they are my foes. And he says, Chokreini kel v'dalavavi. Search me, God. Know my heart. Ure'eim derech otzev bi. See if there is a way of angering you in me. So David says here that God should know what it is that he really intends. Bad people are hated by him. And he says, Anshei damim surumeni, men of blood should leave me. He doesn't say that, Lo amar anshei damim surumeni al ha'anashim asher hayu olchim imo. She says, David isn't saying my supporters should leave me, the people who are of bitter spirit and so on. Aval haisak, and this is the key line in the paragraph, haisak habanasoli hisnatzel mishivto besoch lishtim umeyasher boi mahem b'machaneli lachem b'Yisrael. David's point is he's praying to God, make the plishtim leave me. David is davening to Hashem saying, I am stuck having to go to war at the side of the Plishtim. Get me out of this battle. Get me out of having to do this, is what Abarbanel believes. And he goes on to say that when David says, God, you should kill the wicked, means Shaul, who is attacking him. David expects God to take care of Shaul. David is not going to do it himself. We've already seen that. And he says, those who hate you, God, I will hate. At that point, I'll be able to fight the Plishtim. Once you've gotten rid of Shaul, I won't have to be among the Philistines. So the way Abarbanel reads this is that David does not plan to betray Achish. And Malbim similarly says David does not plan to betray Achish. He is going to lay low. He's not going to sabotage them. And he's going to pray to God to get him out of this, contra what Ralbag said. Are we clear? That's the idea. Susan.
My question is, I haven't been around for a while.
Yep.
Duffy had followers. Did they all disappear or did they join the
No. You go back to chapter 27. David came to Achish with 600 men.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So there's still part of this then.
Yep. Yeah. And that's what he means, what Abarbanel means when he says, when David says, men of blood should leave me, he doesn't mean his men. He means the Plishti, forces who are by his side.
So we don't know if his men are saying, how can you fight the Plishti? None of that.
His men are not. His men are saying nothing. They are loyal to David, and they go where he goes, and they fight where he fights. That we've seen. And then when David refuses to fight against Shaul at one point, David refuses to kill Shaul, like, they're shocked. Like, they're more aggressive than David is. Yeah. Vanessa.
So where is Achish? If David is his bodyguard and he wants to keep out of it, so where is he at the moment?
So Achish is going to be in the back of the battle. The Plishti king is going out with his forces, but in the back.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, other questions or comments? Okay, this is a basic split in what David plans to do, and it's going to matter when we get to the end of the chapter. But the other point I wanted to raise, which I raised accidentally in my opening comments, is the problem of where the Plishtim are. We said in sentence one, and we saw the map last week, that the Plishtim are in Afek at this point. And at the end of the chapter, if you jump to Pasuk Yudalek, sentence 11, there we are told, the Plishtim alu Yisrael. The Plishtim ascended to Yisrael, which is further north, closer to where they're going to fight the Jews. And the problem with that is if you go back to chapter 28, sentence 4, when the Plishtim first started to attack, we are told, Vayikavtsu Plishtim, the Plishtim gathered, Vayavo Vayachanu Bishunaim, they camped in Shunaim, and we saw the map when we did chapter 28. We said Shunaim is right near Gilboa, where the Jews are arrayed. It's right near where the battle is going to be. So how did it happen? In chapter 28, sentence 4, they're close together. And the beginning of chapter 29, it's the opposite. That's our problem. So, two approaches. Malbim's approach is to say that this Afek is actually up north. The Afek we're talking about here, he doesn't say there are two Afekim, if you will, Afekim. That's not what he says. But he simply portrays this scene in his commentary as being the Plishtim being close to Shaul. He thinks Afek is further north. The word Afek itself isn't truly a localized, like one place can be called Afek and no other, right? Afikim are? Like Afikim Banegev?
Springs
of some kind, right? It's a stream, it's a spring. The Afek is the place from which water comes out. For the Aramaic familiar or Gemara familiar, nafgamina. Nafak is to go out from something. So so you could have streams in one place, you could have streams in another place. We can call them all Afek, much like we had multiple places called Carmel and multiple places called Mitzpah. That works. You can do that. So Malbim doesn't think there's any issue here at all. But Professor Keel, in the Dot Mikra, says it's not just that the location is different, but the verb is different. In 28:4, it said, Vayikavtsu, the Plishtim were gathered. Whereas here, in 29:1, I'm sorry, in, did I just make that up? Could be I made that up. Hang on. Yeah, no, it's Vayikavtsu in both places. That's not what he picks up on. What he picks up on is the difference between the Plishti verb and the Jewish verb. Plishtim are Vayikavtsu, they're gathered. The Jews, in the same sentence, 29:1, are chonim. We are camped. That's the difference that Professor Keel focuses on. And he says, the Plishtim are gathering here in order to move out to Shunaim. This is describing they're gathering in order to move out to Shunem. Now, he doesn't address the problem, but Rav Amnon Bazak does. And he says something very interesting. Take a look at source number 3. Nitan lehasik, he says, one may conclude, Shamasupar bebirkenu hisrachesh lemaseh lifnei mesupar beperech lavchet. What we're going to learn about in our chapter, the back and forth between Achish and his men about whether David can go to battle or not, actually happens before the story in chapter 28 with the oath. Chapter 28 happens after chapter 29. Umetoar kan hashlav harishon bekinus shnei atzvaot. Here we are getting the first stage in the meeting of the two armies. Shnerach be'ezor merkaz ha'aretz, a meeting which would ultimately happen in the center of the land. Lifnei ha'aliyah l'makom, right, what we're seeing now is in the center. Lifnei ha'aliyah l'makom ha'maracha b'tzafon, before the plishtim go up to the camp in the north. That's the idea. So we're actually seeing a first step, the gathering of the armies before the battle. Only at the end of the chapter will it say the plishtim go up to Israel. Now, he acknowledges that it's all well and good to swap chapters, but you have to justify what you've done. Right? Why are these chapters not in order? Right? We have an issue that comes up in Chumash. The question of how far you go with the principle of Ein Mukdamu Me'uchar BaTorah. We say that in the Torah, don't assume chronological order based on the sequence in which something appears in the Chumash. Nonetheless, according to most commentators, if something's out of order, there's a reason for it. It isn't stam. And here you need to explain it. He says, Kviyazo Me'oreres Kamuvanes HaSheila Madua Hiviyah Mikras Perkeinu Acharei Perek Chavches. He says, this stipulation that they're out of order raises the question, why is chapter 29 listed after 28 when the events happened first? L'chora haya pashut harbe yoser l'smoch osa l'perach av zayin shasak me'mela b'yachse David va'achish. He says, it would have made much more sense for this chapter to be earlier, because chapter 27 was David going to Achish and convincing Achish that he's no longer with the Jews. And then you would go into our story, which is Achish preparing to attack the Jews, and his men saying, don't bring David along. And only after that, get into Shaul and the Ove and what's going on in the Jewish camp. Why are you going out of order with this? It doesn't fit. You should do that. Then bring the Ove. And he says, you know, chronologically it makes sense, logically it makes sense. And so he says, jumping to his last line, the answer has to be that there is a substantial reason to put the Ov story first. Even though it happened later, and we're going to have to explain what that is. Why is it that the order is switched? And he has a very interesting view to explain why the order is switched. Are we clear? Got it? Okay. Any thoughts on why the order would be switched? Yeah, Eti.
It makes sense that when the Pishtim gathered by near the Jewish camp, that Shaul would be scared and seek advice on what to do.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. The problem is that our story here, the debate about whether David should go along, actually happened before the Plishtim set up their camp near the Jews. That's our problem. Like, this should have been before all of that. Yeah, that's the challenge. Chana?
Is there a thing that we want to separate two Pu'anot? Because Balata was a big Pu'anot with the Nevoah.
Interesting.
And then the big Pu'anot when he dies, so maybe it's not good to put them together.
So that's an interesting thing, the idea of dividing up between two terrible events. So we're splitting between the story with the Ov, which is, you know, horribly upsetting for Shaul and his death. I would ask, we already have chapter 30 in between, and chapter 30 is going to be a whole different story about David after he leaves the Plishtim. So that's already in between. And we're going to come back to it. Rabbi Zak's idea is very inventive, and it appeals, depending on how you take the debate between Ralbag and Abarbanel, as we'll see. Janine, you were going to say?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, and I don't know the difference, but when they talk about Shumim, it says Vayikatsu.
Yeah, versus Vayikpitsu.
I don't know, I'm not sure about the difference, Kana, maybe you know, but is one, you know, like saying, they have done this. Is it possible that it's just, you know, like giving you a little background, now, meanwhile, back at the ranch. You know,
so, the problem is, it would work better the opposite way. In other words, vayikbitzu, you could say as they are gathering now, or they gathered in the past. Vayikavitzu sounds more like they gathered in the past. And that was in the other chapter, not in this one. Sorry, Chana, you were going to say?
Vayikbitzu is while you say somebody's gathered there. Vayikavitzu is they gathered. So vayikavitzu means that the Sramim are gathering the Plishim.
Right, right. That's a separate piece of it. I mean, Janine was asking about whether there's any change of tense between them.
But also, it's funny. Vayikatsu, I think, is gathered. Vayikatsu is they were gathered.
They were gathered, right? Right.
So vayikatsu means somebody is gathering them. Really? That's what I mean.
That you cut.
But vayikatsu. But you can assume it's their gathering themselves.
That's interesting.
I read it the opposite, but I might be wrong. I'm not. You're Israeli. So Vayikatsu is the binyan nif'al, which they're doing. Vayikatsu or Vayikatsu?
So I'm telling you what. I don't believe that it actually affects this issue. I don't. I don't think that affects this issue. I also wanted to ask an Israeli about Hebrew grammar, but Chana I would ask, but not because she's Israeli. But let's go further in the parak. My joke about Israelis and grammar notwithstanding. Pasuk Dalet, sentence 4. Achish has said, I like David, I have nothing bad to say about him, David is staying. And the Plishtim say, not so fast. Vayiktsifu alav sarei Plishtim. The Plishtim were angry. Vayomru lo, and they said, Vayomru lo sarei Plishtim. Their sarim said, their officers said, Hashaves ha'ish v'yashova mekamo asher hifkadeto sham. Send him home. Put him back in the place where you stored him, right? The city of Tziklag. V'lo yered imanu l'milchama. He is not coming to war with us. V'lo yelanu l'satan v'milchama. He isn't going to obstruct us. We're not letting that happen. How is he going to be reconciled with his master, meaning with Shaul, if not with the heads of these men, meaning us? Sure, you're going to have him come to war by our side. You know, he's going to see the opportunity to make up with Shaul by bringing our heads. We're not interested in playing along. And then they say something very interesting. Halo zed David asher ya'anulo b'mecholos le'mor. This is David for whom the women came out and they danced after he killed Goliath, saying, you remember the pasuk? Hikash Shaul ba'alafav v'David b'rivavosav. That Shaul struck with his thousands and David with his tens of thousands. And you may remember when we learned that originally, back in chapter 18, we saw different ways to interpret that. Was it really more positive about David? Was it really more positive about Shaul? But they are taking it, saying, this is positive about David. This is what the women sang about David. If you look at source number 4, I just gave you a quick list of different Mefarshim, different commentators who explain what the Plishtim are trying to say here. Radak says that they're trying to say, David is a scary person. We don't want David around. Look what they used to say about him. David is a mighty warrior. Abarbanel says that the point is that David hates the Plishtim. Look, they used to sing about his exploits against the Plishtim. Malbim says, even stronger psychologically, David is going to attack us so that they sing the song for him again. He remembers back when he was adored before he went renegade. He's going to want that back. So don't give this don't give him the opportunity to have them sing that song about him again. But what's most fascinating, and I know, you know, a bunch of you have to be thinking about this, is the fact that the Plishtim know about the song in the first place. Right? The Plishtim are aware. This is huge. Because twice in our learning, at least twice that I can think of, we asked the question of whether the Plishtim have spies among the Jews. Remember, chapter 13, chapter 14, the Jews routed the Plishtim, and yet in chapter 17, the Plishtim came out with Goliath to attack us again. And we asked at the time, how much time has elapsed? Why do the Plishtim think that it's safe for them to attack again? And one idea that we had was that at the end of chapter 16, Shaul starts to deteriorate with the Ruach Ra'ah. And so we suggested that perhaps they had spies and they knew Shaul was vulnerable, which fits with the way that that Goliath comes out and he taunts Shaul. So the that was one place where we wondered whether they have spies. And the other was when David came to Achish in chapter 27 and Achish accepted him. And we said, why is he accepting David? And we wondered, does he have spies to know that there's been a falling out? Now we know he definitely has spies, because how else did they know about the song that the Jews are singing for David? The clear evidence that there's information making it from the Jewish camp into the Plishti camp. Got it?
Unusual. I mean, it's normal for people to want to know what's on the other side.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. It's still fascinating. Yes, yeah, Susan.
I remember when they were dancing, they were loud, and they were happy, and they didn't kill all the Plishtim. It doesn't have to necessarily be spies, as they were secret about their
No, kids. Because the singing happened on the Goliath's head tour. After he knocked off Goliath's head, the Plishtim fled, and the Jews went racing after them, and he is now not at the site of the battlefield at all. He's going around to the Jewish cities with the head of Goliath. The Plishtim are nowhere near.
They were all sort of gone.
Yeah, they were dispersed.
Okay.
That's the impression. And, you know, you have to hedge that a little bit and say maybe this song became popular. You know, maybe this was something that they sang in the bars. I don't know. Just don't know. So the men, the Plishti men, give Achish their feelings about this. What is Achish going to do? Pasuk Vav. Vayikra Achish al David. Achish calls in David. He says, I'm sorry, man. Vayomar elav, Chai Hashem ki yashar ata v'tov be'einai tzeischal bo'acha iti b'machaneh. He swears by Hashem. Radak says, since he's swearing to David, he invokes David's God. Since he's swearing to David. So he says, by Hashem ki yashar ata. You are yashar. You are a straight man. And it's good in my eyes when you go out to battle and you can leave the battle with me in the camp. I like that. From the day you arrived until today, never had any reason to complain. Everything's been good. But the Sranim are a different story. The Sarnei Plishtim, the heads of the Plishti cities, They're not comfortable. Apparently you have a king who's over the Sranim, right? There's king, then there's the Sranim over everybody else. So he says, the Sranim, they don't like you so much. Ve'ata shuv v'lech b'shalom. So he says, go b'shalom. No, l'shalom, b'shalom, separate discussion. V'lo sa'asera b'enei sarnei plishtim. Don't do things that the Plishti officers, Plishti leaders don't like. Abarbanel points out something interesting here. He didn't actually say what the Plishti leaders didn't like. He didn't specify, right? The Plishti leaders said, David is going to want to ingratiate himself with Shaul by harming us. All he said was, yeah, the Plishti leaders don't like you so much. Go home. Take a look at Abarbanel, number 5. He says, "Uchadei lasos chavtsamu she'elasam." In order to do what they wanted, what the Plishtim had requested, Haya Omer Elav Sheyashuv LeDarko. He told him, go on your way. He doesn't say what they said. Why? To preserve David's dignity. He doesn't want to offend David. I'm going to come back to that. The question for you to note, who is it who's supposed to leave the battlefield? It's not a trick question.
Shaul.
No. Shaul's not part of this conversation.
Then he tells David to go.
David, right. David has to leave. What about David's 600 men?
Well, I would assume he wouldn't trust them less than they trust, the lords wouldn't trust the men less than they trust David, because the men are only following David. They don't have any loyalty to the policing, so they for sure would want them gone.
So that's definitely one way to read it, but the text omits them. Keep that in mind.
Well, maybe David's men are going with
you. Yeah, that's what Susan said. But keep this question in mind, because it's gonna emerge in the next piece. Not so clear at all. David, for his part, is gonna object. He's told, go home. And remember, Abarbanel and Malbim think that David wants to go home, but David is not willing to accept the offer. Pasuk Ches, look at him. Vayomer David el Achish, ki me'a sisi, umama tzasa be'avdecha, miyom asher ha'isi lefonecha reyom hazeh. He says, what have I done wrong? What bad thing have you found in your servant since the day I've been here until today? Ki lo avo v'nechamti do'evei Adoni ha'melech. Will I not go and fight the enemies of my master the king? Put me in, coach, right? Just like David said to Shaul regarding Golias. He said, you know, I belong at the battlefield. Vayan Achish vayomer el David, and Achish says to David, who is, you know, pushing, he says, listen, Yadati ki tovata be'enai kemalach Elokim. I know, you are good in my eyes, like a malach of God. Ach sarei plishtim amru lo ya'alei imanu b'milchama. But what am I supposed to do? The plishti officers have said, you're not coming to war with us. Ve'ata, and now, hashkem baboker, get up early in the morning, ve'avdei adonecha asher ba'u itach, along with the servants of your master Shaul who came with you. Now suddenly we mention the 600 men. See, Susan and Eti, had he not explicitly mentioned the men here, I would have agreed with you. When he told David leave, it meant you leave and your men leave. But here he specifies, and your men with you. Vishkamtem baboker, get up early in the morning, va'or lachem, it'll be light for you, valechu, and leave. Which is what happens in Pasuk Yud Aleph, just to wrap the perek. Vayashkim David huvan ashav aleches baboker, David and his men get up early to go in the morning, lashuv al eretz plishtim. Uplishtim alu Yisrael. The Plishtim went up to Yisrael. David and his men go home. Yeah.
It's I would think, whether you mentioned it before or not, it's a given they wouldn't want David's men. If they don't want David, he showed loyalty. The men didn't. It's a given.
So you need to explain. Then you need to explain why the text only mentioned them the second time and not the first time. I understand what you're saying, but you have to explain what the Psukim are doing. Yeah.
That is reiterating, when you go, you take your men with you.
Maybe. I got a better answer.
Can I say something?
Yes, Agnes.
Yeah, I mean, could it be that he's saying, I trust you, but your men are servants of Shaul. And them I don't trust.
So that's interesting. It's not you at all. It's only them. It would be an interesting thing to say, but then it's missing from what he said earlier. Right? He could have said that, and that would have saved him a lot of grief with David, because David wouldn't have had the room to object and say, I'm a good guy, I've never done anything wrong, and it wouldn't have, that point wouldn't have been relevant. It's an interesting idea. I mean, it is definitely true that by calling them the servants of your master, he's highlighting a lack of confidence in them. I brought you on the sheet what Radak says in source number 6. The men who came with you who also turned on their master Shaul, which has an implication of maybe I shouldn't trust them. Maybe they're going to want to go back. So he says to him, I want you to go home. And he says specifically, I want you to go home in the morning. Two notes on that. Ralbag versus Abarbanel. Ralbag in source number 7. Tekef sheyiyeh ha'or lachem, immediately when it's light for you. Va'amar lo zeh shelo yistaknu al yad anshei milchama. He's worried they're going to get attacked by the soldiers. If they leave during the night, somebody might harm them. So whether they might be attacked on purpose or by accident, I'm not sure. But there is some kind of a threat to them. That's one way to take it. So he's saying it, unless you say, actually no, let me go back and read those words more carefully. No, I think it's not accidental. I think it's on purpose. I think it is intentional. Meaning, he's saying, go when it is light, but right when it's light. If you wait till later, the soldiers might attack you when they see you. That's what he's saying. And Abarbanel agrees that it's about going at first light and not later, but for a different reason. He says in source number 8, Lafisha ha'halicha mehamilchama v'chazara mimena lo sa'us ki'im l'chalushei ha'lev u'le'ish ha'yarei v'rach ha'levav. Leaving the battle, that's only appropriate for somebody of weak heart, somebody who's afraid. Vehi cherpa gedola, it's an embarrassing thing. V'haro'el, sam yischak aleihem v'yilagulem. Anybody who sees this is going to laugh at them and make fun of them. You're leaving the battlefield like this. Lachain tziva sheyashuvu b'hashkama v'ish al yeida b'achzarasam. V'chol zem pnei hakavod. It's again about preserving David's dignity, lest you be embarrassed, Abarbanel says. So that's our story, right? That's our parak. But there's a lot more to say. First of all, this dialogue between Achish and David is so wordy, right? The whole back and forth and back and forth. The reiteration of points. Every time Achish says, no, you're a malach, you're wonderful, you've never done anything wrong, it obscures some very interesting elements in it. And especially in a parak that's so short, why are you giving us all the back and forth? You're supposed to pick out stuff here. And I tried to hint a little bit along the way at some of the pieces, but let's look at it collectively. First of all, the dialogue. Sentence 4, the Sarim come to Achish, they oppose David fighting because they don't trust him. Sentences 5 to 7, Achish says to David, the Sranim came to me, they don't want you being with me, so go home. Sentence 8, David asks, why may I not fight for you? Am I not awesome? And in sentences 9 and 10, Achish says, the Sarim oppose you fighting, so you and your men go home. Did you notice the changes along the way? There are differences here. So I put a table on your sheet, source number 9, because I needed a table in order to map all this out, and I figure, why not share it? There are 4 different elements in this story that change depending on who is telling the story to whom. Number 1, the question of who has a problem with David being there. You follow the table. When the complainers speak, it says the Sarim objected. Achish, on the other hand, when he tells David, says it's the Saranim. Sarim are like the military officers at the battlefield. Saranim are the heads of each Plishti town. The heads of each Plishti town are called Saranim. We talk about the 5 Sarnei Plishtim. So they're a different rank. They're political leaders, the Saranim. And then, after David objects and Achish says to him, yeah, they don't want you here, he reverts to saying it's the Sarim. He initially said Sranim, which wasn't true. And then he said Sarim. And don't think, please, well, it's just the letter Nun, it's not a big deal. These are different positions. Saying, my generals don't like you here, is different from saying, my governors don't like you here. That's not a typo. So that's number 1. Number 2. What is it that upsets the people who are complaining about David being there? So in the text initially, in Pasuk Dalet, it said, we don't want David at the battlefield, right? Lo yeredi manu b'melchama. He should not go to war by our side. We don't want him at the battle. Achish, when he reports it, doesn't say that. Achish's statement to David is, Boacha iti b'machaneh. You coming with me in the camp. That's what's bothering them. And then again, David says, what's wrong with me? And again, Achish goes back to what they actually said originally, which is, they don't want you at the fight. Lo ya'ale imanu b'milchama, at the end of sentence 9. So Achish is lying the first time and telling the truth the second time. Are we clear so far? Achish is not doing, something is wrong the first time, and he corrects himself the second time. Third, why is it that they don't want David at the battlefield? They said it explicitly. We don't trust him, right? He's going to be a satan against us. He's going to want to make Shaul happy. Achish, when he tells it, doesn't say that. He just omits that. And even after David objects, Achish still omits that. He doesn't want to say it. And then finally, what does Achish request of David? So the complainers said, we want David to go home. That's what they said. We want David to go home. And the first time round, Achish said David should be going home. In other words, that part of it was actually true. However, in the end, as we discussed, Achish changes his tune. He says, actually, I want everybody to go home. Not just you, David. Something happened in this story. You got to do a close read in order to follow that, which is why you need to learn Malbim. Because without Malbim, I would totally just read this parak, think I got it, and move right on to parak Lamed. It's Malbim who says, no. The words are here for a reason. You should read them. So I'm going to show you what Abarbanel does, because Abarbanel notices some of this. And then I'm going to show you what Malbim does, because Malbim notices everything. So Abarbanel, we're just going to read my English translation, because it's a long text. David protested at this, saying, for what have I done, etc. It appears to me regarding this, that the Sranim of the Philistines feared only David and not his men, because David might become reconciled with his master at their head. And what we mean by that is not reconciled with Achish, his master. It means Shaul, right? Just like it explicitly said, right? In Pasuk Dalet. Bameyisrat Yisrat says, El Adonav. He is going to make up with Shaul by doing something to harm us. And also because it was known that David had struck with his myriads. David's got military power. These factors did not apply to his men. So they were not concerned. The Philistines, the Plishtim, were not worried about David's men. They were only worried about David personally. Clear? That's where things are originally. They only want David to go home. They're very happy to have the 600 men fighting as part of the battle. They're good with that. David found room to claim, what have I done? What have you found in your servant? Meaning, what evil have you found in me personally that there should, I just jumped the line, what evil have you personally more than in all the servants who are with me? Why is this about me going home? You got all my men here. For if the reason is that we were servants to Shaul, that should be a general doubt for all of us. You're singling me out, indicating that you have found wickedness and sin in me alone. Right? Remember, Abarbanel believes that David is davening to Hashem, get me out of here. So David is now pushing to get his men sent home. And therefore Achish replied that it would be a desecration to make any claim against David. David is righteous and good. He's like a malach of God in his eyes. It was only that the Sranim of the Philistines said without basis, David should not ascend with us to war. Abarbanel does not pick up on the Sarim Sranim. He doesn't comment on that. He says, he only says, not that there's anything wrong with you at all, we just don't want David going to war. And Achish said this without explanation because he was embarrassed to reveal their arguments. But in order to honor David, he then said, now rise early in the morning, the servants of your master who came with you, and rise early in the morning when it will be light for you, meaning all of them should go with you so that it will include all of you and it will not be personal. Right? That's the idea. What Abarbanel reads is not picking up on all of the changes. He's only picking up on the difference between David going home in the beginning and then David's men going home and saying that's what David was pushing for. But Malbim notices everything. Watch this. Source number 11. Again, we'll just read my English translation. And Achish called. Achish did not want to reveal to him that his officers suspected him, the Sarim, that he was not trustworthy in their eyes, lest he be upset. He wanted to tell David that the main issue was due to jealousy and the honor of making him Achish's bodyguard. Because of this, the concern was from the Siranim, the ones who would be affected by this, the political leaders, the governors. Now he's suddenly the favorite of our king, not the general leaders. They were only upset about David going with Achish, meaning being his bodyguard, not about his going to war. The issue is not, the Sranim are not objecting to David fighting for them. The Sranim are objecting to making David best friend of Achish. That's not the truth. Let's be clear. Again, go back to your table, right? The real story was the Sarim said, David is a danger, he's going to betray us, and so on. But Achish, with his lie, says, it's about the Sranim, the political leaders. They don't want you to be close to me. That's the issue. And David said, David understood the truth, that the concern was due to their suspicion of him and not due to jealousy and honor. David knew exactly what it was about. They just didn't want him to go to war at all. He was privately happy at this, like we said earlier from Abarbanel. But he wanted his men to return as well and not to fight their brethren. You're not going to have 600 bodyguards for Achish. What are all these guys going to do at the battlefield? They're going to have to fight. He responded cleverly that even though the Sranim were only concerned that he should not be the king's bodyguard, still, why shouldn't he go to war like his men? This should not be withheld from him unless there is some suspicion against him. David pushes Achish, because David knows this isn't the truth. And if he pushes to the point where they'll acknowledge it's about suspicion, then he'll be able to extend it to his men as well. And Achish replied, now Achish was compelled to tell him the truth, that the objection came from the general leaders, not from the Sranim, and the concern was that he should not go out to war at all. Now Achish needed to tell David, so as not to embarrass him personally, as opposed to his, general men, that all of them should, so as not to embarrass him personally, as opposed to telling him about his general men. If you're telling David that it's only him leaving, then it's, hey, what's wrong with me? But now he says it's about the general army. So he says they should leave. That's great. That's what David wanted in truth. Clear? Malim is so sharp in reading this back and forth. Ricky and then Susan.
Is there an element of an ego trip for Achish when David joins? Because truly, David killed Goliath. David is the head of he's the beloved of the Israelites. And for Achish to take him in and defend him and everything, it sounds like there is something in it for him beyond just getting a good fighter.
So it's very interesting the way you say it, because my thought here was Achish is so worried about offending David and having David feel bad. I didn't think about it as a political prize the way you're framing it. I was thinking about it in terms of what we discussed in chapter 27, that David is coming in from a position of strength. David is not a beggar at the door. David's got 600 men. He's a mighty warrior. He's an asset.
Should know that he's an enemy, and to all of a sudden turn around and say, okay, my bodyguard, I think it makes him, not just from political, but from an emotional sort of thing.
Maybe.
It feels like it's an ego thing. Hey, look at who won wants to be my right-hand man.
Right. I hear you. Susan, and then Jeanette, and then Claudette.
Would you explain Satan? I was always taught Satan was devil. Wouldn't he have meant like the devil?
So no. I'm going to suggest that you go to YU Torah, YUTorah.org, and look up Torchiner and Satan, because I've given a couple of classes on this. Satan simply means one who obstructs. It doesn't mean devil. It means one who obstructs. It's actually a verb. That's the first time it shows up, is in the story of Bilam in Parashas Balak. The malach standing in the way of Bilam and the donkey goes there lisitno, to obstruct him, to block him. I'm not going to go into the whole thing now. We've got 8 minutes left on this, and there's too much to talk about. Is a being whose job is to obstruct. He's not a devil. The whole devil thing is in Dars. Yeah. Sorry to be brief on that, but...
No. Okay. Satan is from Sote.
Okay, Jeanette, you were going to say.
I was wondering if there's any parallel to be drawn or any lesson trying to learn in terms of how much went into this dialogue, of kind of a lesson for David, of a parallel between Achish and Shaul, in that they are leaders who are listening too much to their people. And almost to show, like, that's an excuse that Shaul used a lot.
Right.
And
almost that's interesting.
To show that this is not what for David to learn, this is not how a Jewish king is going to be. This is when you're a king, you listen to the word Hashem, and not to everybody around you politically or strategically. I don't know,
I'll tell you, it's an interesting point, because we do make that point certainly with Shaul. I have two problems with this. Problem number one is that Achish doesn't have the benefit of the word of God to listen to. He only has this and his own instinct. But the other, one second, the bigger problem is that his men are right. His men are fundamentally correct. So that would be my problem. Claudette.
In some phases along in history, people of military status admires the opposite, the enemy, the head, because for what they can achieve.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a mutual admiration going on between Achish and David, because Achish went to the extreme of calling David something,
right.
An angel came to him.
Right, it's interesting that you frame it.
He admires David, he respects David, and I think that in the prior chapter we were questioning whether Achish knew that David was, fighting.
I wouldn't call it I wouldn't call it mutual admiration, but yes, a one-way admiration for sure. I definitely hear your point. This Malach comparison is fascinating. Yeah, Sandra.
Is it possible that Achish decided to tell God to take the 600 men as an afterthought to protect him for all the reasons that we said from the soldiers, because he's leaving, he doesn't want him to be attacked?
Possible, I suppose. I suppose it's possible. I can't prove it's not.
No, but it just occurred to me that, God would cut fruit. Maybe that was going to.
Right. Yeah, no, I hear you. So what we have here is this story, this back and forth, this dialogue, is a story of David getting his men out of the battle. And that's consistent with Abarbanel from before. David does not plan on sabotaging the Plishtim, so he doesn't want to be there. And he doesn't want his men to be there either. However, remember that we had a different view of what David was going to do, and that was Ralbag. And Ralbag's view was, David wants to be at the battlefield, because he wants to sabotage Achish to save Shaul and the Jews. And he fails. David fails, right? Because he can't stay there. And you can play this out with the same explanation brought by Abarbanel and Malbim above, but David actually wanting to be at the battlefield, and here's the key. I'm so glad we made it to this. David's strategy fails because Hashem wants it to fail. Because Shaul is supposed to lose the war. What David wants to do is against the plan. How do we know that he's supposed to lose the war? How do you know Shaul is supposed to lose the war?
Because Samuel told him.
When did he tell him?
The Ov.
In Perek Chavches. And now you have Rav Bazak's point. Take a look at source number 12. He says, Ka'ez nuchal lachzor l'sheila seder haprakim sheha'leinu le'el. Now we can come back to this question about the order of the prakim. Luhu hofia pirkenu miyad la'achar perachav zayin. If chapter 29 had showed up after chapter 27, lo ha'isabi adenu tshuva l'sheila madua be'emes lo itzlicha mezimaso shel David. We wouldn't know why David didn't succeed. David always succeeds. David gets what he wants. What happened? Mishum kach ba kodem l'chein perek chavches. That's why you needed chapter 28. Bo huvrar ki Shaul holech lekras tvusaba milchama. That's when we find out that Shaul is going to meet his end in this battle. Kechelik min ha'onesh nigzar alav, as part of the punishment decreed upon him. Vasher alav nodala b'parshas balas ha'ov, which he found out during the story of the oath. Lafichach sibev Hashemes ha'eruim ba'ofen shetochniso shel David lo tale biyado. And therefore Hashem arranges it that David will not be able to play the role that he wants to play. You know, you've been with me long enough to know, I don't always agree with Rav Bazak on things, but this is gold. This is such an insight into the order of the chapters here. It only fits with Ralbach. It only fits if you assume that David's plan was in fact sabotage. If you take the view of Abarbanel and Malvim, then it doesn't work at all. But I think it makes a lot of sense. It explains why the chapters are out of order, and I just it fits really well with David protesting and saying, "Hey, wait a minute! I want to be here. I want to stay." It really makes a lot of sense. So kudos to Rav Bazak on that one. What we'll do next time, God willing, is do the review questions for chapter 29. Can you believe? Just like that, chapter 29 is done. And then we move on to chapter 30, which was it's a much more loaded chapter. The one that's coming up next. It's a very difficult one. It's a fight against Amalek, for David, but there's a lot going on, within it. So that'll be chapter 30. And then finally the battles in chapter 31. And the tragedy that brings. Okay, so that'll be, God willing, next Thursday. Okay?
Thank you so much. Have a great Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi. Shabbat Shalom.